do I follow that joke? Hey guys, so my name's Heinrich, and I'm going to be preaching in English just so that Cody can follow. So we have Cody and Lavalia from Namibia, which means we have like all the English people from there, I think, which is such a privilege. Okay, so yeah, today I felt like a really, really controversial word. Super controversial. This guy's like, this is super scary. Like the whole world, I think, super divided by this. This is worse than Hilux and Rangers. Like, this is controversy. Like, guys, if you look all over the world, like, yo, the people divided on this. It's the love of God and that you're loved by God. Which, I mean, a lot of people actually believe that. That God loves them. Which is quite shocking. But I actually got convinced of that also. And I think I'm going to be sharing a bit of that story and just how I found out about that, the truth. So let me just start from where I come from. I come from George. It's in the Western Cape, which is it's the hood, guys. Nicole's seen where I stay. Scary, guys. Like, if you walk down the street, look to your left and your right, there's like Yorkies and Labradors. It's yep, scary. But I made it. Testimony. So my family, I grew up in a nice Christian house. I don't know about the people in it, but the house was Christian. And we were good at it, at being Christians. We're good at things in general, you know, like, as good as you can be, that's how good you got to be. And so then, when I was 13, I met Jesus. Amazing, actually. I don't know how I met him, but hallelujah, grateful for it. And then I was like, yo, this guy's amazing. I get to enter in his presence. Crazy. And then I was like, cool, now I'm going to be a good Christian. A really good Christian. And the longer I was a Christian, the better I had to get being a Christian. The harder it got to enter his presence, because obviously, to be a good Christian now could be the best. I want to talk about how that was wrong. As you said, we could actually enter in because of what Jesus did. So the name of the sermon, freak, whatever you call it, is He Did It, He being Jesus, that it being what I'm going to talk about. let me start off with... As a believer, I heard somewhere you got to read your Bible. I heard a lot of places, actually. So I was like, cool. That's what Christians are saying. So I've got to do that. And I mean, like, all the cool Christians are doing it. So obviously, you got to read your Bible daily, you know? Otherwise, you like drop points, and then you're not like a Christian anymore. And then you can't enter his presence. It's difficult. But I was wrong, but I'll get to that. So then I thought, okay, in the mornings, got to read a chapter. In the evening, got to read a chapter. You know, just read through the Bible. Didn't get anything, but it was cool. And whenever I got tired, I used to go to Psalm 117. Because it's the shortest one. I'm tired. Let me read the quick, short one. And then later, then obviously I ticked the box. And later on, I would go back to Psalm 117 when I thought, maybe I should memorize a chapter. I mean, it's short. It's easy. So I decided, okay, Psalm 117. One day I was led to it by the Lord later on, and I really struggled to believe that God really loves me. I thought, like, maybe it's like some people, you know, those hectic testimonies, guys that come from places even worse than George. Maybe they get loved by God. Me, I got to perform. I mean, like, I come from the hood, but... It's not that bad hood. Like, I got to earn it. I got to come in. So it's not like this default love by God. That's what I thought it wasn't. But then I was reading Psalm 117, and it says, "Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all people, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." And, wow, it's up there. and as I was reading... Somehow the Lord is like, yo, that's all peoples and all nations. You're one of them. I was like, okay, what about them? And then it's like, for great is his steadfast love towards us. And I was like, Shucks. So the Bible does say God loves me. I can't like logic my way out of this. I mean, this is true of you guys also. I mean, hate to break this controversy, but you're loved by God. I mean, even just the shortest chapter makes it clear. It's like I can't reason out of that. I've tried, but luckily I'm wrong. Or was wrong. I'm right now, I hope. Konrad. So where was I? Where did I put that verse in my notes? Clearly I didn't put it here. Okay. So let's just go to the story of the prodigal son. I think a lot of us have been like, yo, I'm one of those kids, because you are, or we were. Yeah, let that sink in. So the story of the prodigal son. In it, obviously, Matthew explained it. This kid's like, Dad, I don't like it. Yeah, like I want stuff. I want to go party. Like, I don't like you, Dad. And he leaves, and he goes far away. He's absolute squally, does all the wrong things, and then he realizes, oh no, I wish I was even just a servant in my dad's house. He realizes like he doesn't have food to eat, and then when he comes back, we realize he has to come back, which is verse 17, Luke 15 verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?" So obviously he realizes like, yo, it's better there. Then he says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." Okay. So just that, that was my heart as I like got to know Jesus, or I thought I did, as I was sitting in church. I thought, okay, I realized more and more I'm sinful. I mean, like, we all do realize that. Like, if you're in church, you're going to realize one thing, and that's you're sinful. And Jesus is forgiving. But we'll get to that. And I just realized, like, I don't deserve this. I really don't. And I think we all realize that. Like, at some point, you're going to realize, and maybe it's today, that you don't deserve to enter into the Father's presence. You don't actually deserve being sons. It's just, that's how it is. But then we come and we're like, I've got a plan. Maybe if I work hard. Maybe if I work hard, be a good Christian, then I can enter in. And so I was like, cool. So I'm like, it'll look like this in a worship set. I get there, find like a prime spot, because that's what Christians do. And then, I'm like, worship hard, jump maybe, got to get on my knees at some point, Lord, I sinned against you. And maybe on my face, I'm like, yo, Lord, forgive me. And then the worship set ends, and I'm like, okay, no, I forgot to worship. I was busy asking for repentance, but I mean, go next week, I'll do it again. And it's just work, it's terrible. He comes to his father, he says, And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And I think we've also experienced that. Like, when you get to the father, like, you feel his love, and you're like, wow. And then that worship set is great. It's like, wow, I'm so forgiven. And he loves me. But then immediately goes like, wait, I'm still going to do the works thing. I've got to enter in, like, I've got to earn my place. Maybe if I work hard, I get my inheritance back, get forgiven. And when his father comes to him, he felt compassion and ran, embraced, and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate." And I think this is what I want to actually, like, sit on, something that we've heard a lot, but One of the words that came out was just about something like an old road that's just like, that we get familiar with sometimes. But when I just like ask the Lord to refresh that knowledge of what he's done, which is when he calls, like comes to us, he runs to us when we just turn to him, and then he comes. He brings the robe, like, you know, the best robe, like the, that covers you, that you're a son again, and or you are a son. He puts a ring on your hand, which I theorized was like a signet ring that was like symbolizing you're part of the family. Like you carry like the name of your family, and the sandals, which is plakis, which all Christians wear, and then they bring the fattened calf. Like that is like the best. Like the people didn't eat a lot of meat back then. Sad, but glad we're here. And let us eat and celebrate. Like the Lord also celebrates us, which I think is so beautiful. Like, and I think the Lord has also just revealed that to me, like personally, obviously through the scriptures and through people. Just he really. When we come to him, he celebrates it. He's not like, hey, he's back. Now here's stuff. Like, he's flipping happy to see you. Like, I think we think we're happy to see God, like, in his church service. It doesn't compare to how happy he is. You know how much God loves you. Like, that very controversial thing, but it's the truth, is that in God is such a great love for us. Just who he is. Like who would love this son? You'd be like, yeah, this guy runs away. But God is so amazing that his son that has sinned against him, that has fled from him, that is like, no, I just want the stuff. He's so great love that he restores him. He gives him, he celebrates him. And this is Jesus tells this parable, not just because it's a cool story, but to illustrate that, to illustrate God's great love. And he doesn't just tell this just so there's a story that's out there or the truth is out there, but he actually wants us to know this, to know that we are loved, and that we are deeply loved, the love that we can't even comprehend. That is his love towards us. A love that is not reliant on how well we performed, how good a Christian we are. No. We enter into our Father's presence by the blood of the Lamb, by what he's done for us. And he's done it out of love. The classic John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that thing is, we can think all kinds of things like, oh no, we got to perform whatever, but no, we let us focus on this, on the Father, on Jesus' love for us, that he died so that we can enter in, that we can partake in this feast, we can be with him. I think personally, for so long I didn't partake of the feast because I didn't realize, like, couldn't accept the fact that I'm loved by God because of who he is. I think pride was just like, no, you got to perform, you got to whatever. But that's the devil wants us to think that we need to bridge the gap. But he did it, as the preach name says. He bridged the gap. He died on the cross for us, that we may enter into the feast. And even, you know, there's a second brother, which is at verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. Well, let's just stop there. And I think that's also something that this whole thing, I used to struggle with this, where people come to God also that aren't like, because when you start thinking how much you must do, and then you start thinking how much other people must do, and how much people have done. And somewhere in that, you start thinking like, okay, I want to be like that guy, not that guy. And then, God, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Which is just a bunch of lies. Like, we shouldn't think like, wow, why is God being like, oh, why is he showing grace to these people? Like, we're like, wow, God is showing grace. And he forgives us. And like, how amazing is that not? That God has grace on the younger brother. And then, yeah, the older brother, who's that judgmental guy. throwback. I hope. But when this son of yours came, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And I think it's so beautiful that even that judgmental guy, we're like something like even like we even start going like the guys that are performing, like they don't deserve God's love. I was thinking like maybe I don't deserve God's love because I was trying to bridge the gap or something. And maybe that disqualifies me or something. But even that, even when we start comparing people, I think we can then get stuck in comparison. And you're like, oh, not stuck in comparison, but start thinking in comparison. Sometimes we're like, ah, yeah, wow, I compared, I'm feeling so bad or whatever. But I think even that, like the Lord is like, no, come to me. Come, enter into the festival. All the sons, he wants all of the sons to come, to enter in. Because as Psalm 117 says, like, because you're all in the category of either all nations or all peoples. Great is his steadfast love towards us. And then just, I think it's Romans 5, this 5 or something, where just that thing of his steadfast love, it was better than just him loving us enough to die on the cross, is that his love is, oh, it's there, is steadfast. Just a little bit back. No. But God chose his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I think that's also like in your worst moment, know that his love for you is that great that he died and that his love is always the same. It never changes. Not like my love for people, which some days I'm like, eh. And then other days I'm like, oh, people. But still not enough to die for you guys. I'm sorry. Still a work in progress. And this guy, he likes my jokes. I like it. And Cody, are you appreciating the English? Still, the English is still working. That's good. Yeah. I used to have a degree in English, but then I made some grammar issues and I had to give it back. Okay. Okay. So yeah, if I can be loved by God, like I'm sure you guys can also. And I think the purpose of this is just to even just walk through the well-traveled road of knowing God loves us or hearing God loves us, and just to sit in it again, because it's the truth and it changes everything. The fact that we are loved by God and he's inviting us in to the festival to party with him, actually to celebrate with him, to be sitting at the table with the Father. And I feel like this is encouragement for us to not hold back from coming in. We are invited in to the feast with the Father, where we're going to we celebrate those coming back. We get to celebrate with him, to rejoice, to enter his presence. And the good news is like it's not because of what you did, like despite what you did, 100% despite what you did, we get to enter in. We get to, I think, the boldly enter. We get to like walk in there, like not because of what, but like kind of almost cocky. We get to enter in, we're like, yay! I'm in my dad's house. because of what he's done. And we can know that he loves us. And even, not just when we feel that he loves us, but because the word says so, that he loves us. And even the shortest chapter makes it clear that he loves us. And I'm sure the longest one also does. Amen. Let's close our eyes.